ideology, even the angels are also under the rule of Muhammad Mustafa, may grace and peace Allah be upon him. Therefore, we shall discuss the status of a woman in the human society in whole of the world. Sometimes, when a woman is discussed, most of the people think that this is an issue which is being touched in the welfare states. No, not. Islam is for the total universe. Therefore, everywhere the status of a woman will be checked. And I shall try my best to make you understand that Islam has contributed in favor of the woman very much. For instance, when Islam was introduced, there were two great powers ruling in the world, one of the European countries, and all of the other countries used to be ruled by the Persian Empire. The total world was divided into two parts, either under the Persian Empire or the Roman Empire. And both of the countries were not believing in the status of a woman. In those days, woman was in position to be made a gift, to be gifted to any passerby. And woman used to be sold and used to be bought in the market. Even mother, sister, and wives. And before the introduction of Islam, there was a system which was called Muzdaki in Persia. And Muzdaki was a person who had died near about 150 years before the birth of the Holy Prophet. And Muhammad Mustafa, may grace and peace of Allah be upon him, he was not born to a royal family. He was born in Arabia to a well organized and well stated and well honored family, Quraysh. But they had no the political power, just fame, reputation, on account of the eminences. Eminences means Shair Allah. Eminences, the sacred places which are respected on account of certain respectable persons, just like Kaabatullah is eminence, Dome of Rock is eminence, Safa Marwa is eminence. These are called eminence in English and Shair Allah in Urdu, Arabic, Persian, in these things. So they were hesitant of an eminence, a sacred of Mecca. They respected the suburban areas and neighbor countries, but as a political power, they were not included in a power, and that was ruled by Persia. And those people were in ownership was neither the Roman nor by the Persian Empire. Islam was the first religion to grant the oath to a woman. So this is a particular deed of Islam in Islamic history. It was firstly recorded by the human society that a woman was given the appropriate right. She was not in position to own a house or a land or a movable or immovable property. Islam was the first religion to entitle the woman to be owner of the thing. So this is the contribution of Islam to the truth. No one believes that, but this is on no one refuses. This is a deed and a good case. The woman was enabled to possess the property as an owner. In addition to that, the woman did not inherit any ancestor. Ancestor used to die, but all of the male female used to divide the properties. The properties were not delegated or distributed to the woman. Islam was the first religion to make a woman heir of the properties of the city. For instance, a father died, and four sons were left. Four sons would participate, would share all of the property. And two daughters were left, but daughter was not entitled to inherit the property. The legacy used to be inherited by the male member, not by the female member. It was firstly decided in Madinah Tayyiba in third year of the migration of the Holy Prophet. So this was the first decision which was achieved by Islam. Islam has got a prominent history in this respect, that when a woman was not in position to inherit the property of any father or husband or brother or sister or mother, but Islam for the first time decided that she would inherit, in all of the cases, she would inherit the father, she would inherit the husband, and in certain cases she will inherit the brother as well, and she will inherit the property in case of mother, in every respect, in every quarter of the life. But when the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, the great powers were totally silent about the right of the woman, it was a dare of Islam. Islam was very bold to decide like that. When the Islamic State was not properly framed, this decision was achieved under the shadow of the trees. There was no secretariat, no palace, no army, no defensive power. The Muslims were without house. They were houseless. And there was no residential facilities, no clothes, no food, no residence, no houses, no properties. But yet, Nabi Pakala Swarsam decided that the woman would be owner of the property and she would not be gifted to anybody. She could be married, but according to her free consent, no one can coerce, no one can compel. Even the father, the grandfather cannot compel. She will have to choose a person in the equivalent families, because her reputation, her prestige is also property, which is not known by her up to yet. But when she grows up, she will be a respectable member of the society, then she will begin to realize that I should have been married to a respectable person in respectable family. Therefore, these rights are protected by the father, by the grandfather. But as far as compulsion is concerned, an adult girl cannot be compelled for the marriage by, even by father, even by forefather. And Nabi Kareem al-Assalam was the first person to give the liberty, to give the freedom up to this position. So these two things are prominent in the world. Means inheritance of the property, one. And not to be gifted, two. And not to be sold, three. And she would be there. She would inherit father, husband, son, mother. The law of inheritance in favor of a woman was framed, was legislated, was enacted for the first time by the Holy Prophet Muhammad Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam. But if he had been in the position of king or chief of the state, then it was easy to decide. But when he was a refugee, he left his own home and his companions were also refugees. And when he resided in Madinah Tayyibah, in Madinah Tayyibah, in those days their land used to be called barren. Yasrab means barren land, which cannot be cultivated. There was a barren land. Yasrab means barren land. After the residence of Muhammad Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam, it changed as Madinah Tayyibah. Madinah well populated. But before the population of the Muhammad Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam, it used to be called Yasrab barren. So when he was sitting in the barren land and his companions were refugees and there was no secretariat, no circumstances and no other resources, yet he decided that the woman should be given proper status in the society. And yeah. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the language of the Holy Quran said, "Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahun." They are your dresses and you are their dresses. And everybody's duty is to keep his dress clean, neat, very beautiful, good looking. And he should protect his own dress against everything. So therefore, a woman being a death of a man should be protected against any enemy or any not suitable thing for her. Therefore, this word very comprehensive, encircling all of the facilities, respect, prestige, and reputation. And he said, the Quran says, وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسُ اللَّهُونَ and you are their dresses, means this duty was also entrusted with the woman, that her duty is to protect her husband in every respect. She should look after the property, the children, the household affairs, and she should manage very honestly all of the affairs concerning with her husband, because they are mutually dresses of each other. Their duties are combined, and they should lead the life with mutual understanding. And Quran says, Nisaukum harsul lakum, your wives are your forms. Forms are always cultivated with a proper way. Means the wife should be treated with good way, with good behavior, morally, politically, financially, in every respect. And her prestige, her reputation, her honor should be considered. And Quran says, they are your forms. Forms are always protected against the anything attacking or invading inside of the forms. And forms are properly brought up, then they can feed all of the society. Means if a woman is properly protected and properly treated, then she can play a good role in the society. And in addition to that, Nabi Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam said, only wife is not a woman, mother is also a woman. In those days, the mother used to be sold in the fairs, in the markets. So when a wife is a wife, she likes herself to be protected against any repugnant thing. But when she is mother, she is mostly neglected. And there are old men house where the parents are left. So this time was also considered by Islam. Islam says, if a girl is a woman, if is a woman, a wife is a woman, a mother is also a woman, that should also be protected. Nabi Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam says, no one can enter the paradise without the free consent of the mother. As long as his parents are annoyed with him, he cannot be granted the paradise. Even the intercession of the Prophet. Intercession is international issue of the humanity. Shafa'at. Intercession of the Prophet with Allah is international issue. All of the celestial books discuss the matter, and all of the people believing in the celestial books. Celestial book means the books which were revealed from sky. The terrestrial books means which were written on the ground. Terrestrial book, celestial books. All of the celestial books discusses the point that a prophet is competent to intercede any person with Allah. The Prophet has got a right. But Nabi Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam, Muhammad Mustafa, may grace and peace of Allah be upon him, was reported to have said that I shall not interfere the matter of that person whose parents are annoyed. Mostly the people discuss the matter of a woman as a wife, but they don't discuss as a mother. But mother is the most deserving person to be looked after in the society. But you think that these are the welfare state when the social security is also granted, the education is also free, the medical treatment is also free. But welfare state are not found everywhere. There are hundreds of the states in the world which are not welfare states. There, the parents are mostly protected and looked after by their offspring, their progeny, their austerities. Therefore, we will have to consider the matter of those parents as well who are not living in the welfare states. So when a mother gets old, who will look after it? He should be looked after by the offspring, by the progeny. And this matter should be discussed by the European country as well. They think that it is welfare state's duty to make a big house with the name of old man house, and the old persons should be kept there. So this is not justice. The mother never left her son to the old man house. She always put him in the lap. She gave him the milk. She patronized him. She brought him up very nicely, very correctly. She protected him against every unfavorable season or unfavorable position. But now when she is in need of protection, now she is left to the bumble house, or to the in certain countries the old man house is called bumble house. Bumble house or old man house. So this is not justice. The mother should also be protected. Once upon a time, a question was put to Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, let me know, whom should I respect? Whom should I serve? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered, Ummak, you should protect and serve and entertain your mother. He said, Summama. Again, how one is there to be respected and to be served? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, again, your mother. Again, he repeated the same question. Again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated the same answer. For fourth time, he said, you should protect and you should serve your father as well. Here, the Muslim traditions, the scholars dealing in the tradition, they are called traditionalist scholars discuss the matter. They say that why three times the mother was repeated but father was mentioned only for one time, why? He said that the rights are always granted against obligations. The obligations of the mother are more and more comparatively with the father, therefore he should be protected for three times and father should be protected for four times. So this is the differentiation between father and mother. And sister is also a woman. Why is sister is not discussed in this matter? When woman, as a woman is discussed, his sister is also a woman. She should also be discussed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported to have said in Bukhari Sharif, Man kanat lahu bintun aw bintan, ukhtun aw ukhtan, fa ahabbahunna, fa aqsama alayhinna, fa taqallaha feehinna, fa lahu aljanna, aw kama qala alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anybody who has one daughter or more than one daughter, one sister or more than one sister, he loves them, he respects them, and afterward he is always afraid of any shortcoming of himself in connection with the girl or with the sister. Only for this behavior he would be granted the paradise. He would be given the paradise. It means that sister is also a respectable person. Daughter is also a respectable person. They should be looked after very properly. Only wife is always discussed that the wife is being crueled by Islam. No, it was not crueled by Islam. Islamic behavior or Islamic attitude towards a woman is not cruel. Mostly they believe that when Islam has allowed the polygamy, so this is a very cruelty on the part of Islam. Means to have more than one wife. This is called polygamy. But when Islam was introduced in the society, there was no limitation in the polygamy. One person had a right more than 100 wives at the same time. It is the Islamic speciality that it imposed the limitation on the range of polygamy. polygamy was limited by the Islam, because the Muslim was a justice. Muslim was very fair in the behavior. Therefore, only four wives were allowed to have at the same time, but at the time of necessity, it is not preferable. At the time of necessity, one can have more than one wife. But sometimes one wife is not allowed to be married to a person. Then a person is not in position to look after one wife. For instance, physically he is not fit. Sometimes he has got no house, no circumstances of life. He has got no enough money to live on. Under these circumstances, only one wife is also unlawful for him. Marriage is sunnah, an emphatic sunnah. Man is in position to look after the fara, this Islam. One person came to Muhammad Mustafa. He said, I have more than 100 wives. Nabi Kareem said, so this is not justice. You should not have more than four wives. You can choose four wives. Indication on the polygamy was a great question, especially in case when the ruling power was not with Muhammad Mustafa. He came in Medina Hijabah. There were two tribes, Aus and Khazraj, and financial two tribes, all of other societies, money was with them and power was with these two tribes. And Nabi Kareem had no house, no room, no income, no social income. No farm, no trade, no industry, and sources of life. In these days, Nabi Kareem imposed the limitation on the polygamy. Means you have no right to have more than four wives. But four wives are also discussed as a question. Then there was no limitation in the Roman Empire, no limitation in the Persian Empire. Everybody was in position to have more than 100 wives. In those days, this is the boldness of Islam, that Islam imposed the limitation on the polygamy, on the number of the wives. The four number was minimum number in the marriage. And it was boldness of Islam that both of the parties were not in favor. The Christians, the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, both of them began to note in the negative. They said, things cannot be done. You are giving the inheritance as well. You are giving the property rights to the woman as well. And you are imposing the limitation as well. These three things would cause rebellion in the society. Because the society will not the mutiny, the rebellion against you. Nabi Kareem said that, I am ready to fight the rebellion, but I cannot take back my decisions, because these decisions were achieved by Allah. Therefore, Allah will impose. So ultimately, both of the parties, the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, had to surrender sooner or later. And you believe that British community is well advanced, but you should know that the property right were granted to the woman in 1860. 1860. Means before 1860, the woman could not be as a prophet. So this is very noble memory. Because a woman can believe her husband as a bold person, as a person, as a strong person, as a tough person, as a generous person, as a loyal person, as a faithful person. But she is not ready to believe her husband as a sacred person. But look, the life of the Holy Prophet was so nice that the person with whom he had the sexual relation, she was believing him as a sacred person. Therefore, without any hesitation, without any reluctance, she said, I believe in you as a prophet. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. The first person to believe in Muhammad Mustafa as a Muslim was a woman. So this is a credit which goes to the woman. This is a good memory and good history of the woman in Islamic history. That the first Muslim is not a man. is not a scholar, is not a trader, is not a king. That was a woman, and especially the wife. So this is an eminence, this is a distinction in Islamic world that in whole prophetic community, Nabi Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam is so prominent person that his wife was first Muslim to believe in him as a prophet. So the Muslim should also treat with their wives so nicely that just like Nabi Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam proclaimed his prophethood and without any hesitation, promptly, Hazrat Sayyidah Khidr Kubra, may Allah be pleased with him, accepted his message, and she did not want to consider any father without any consultation. She promptly and without any hesitation, she accepted Islam and she believed in him as a prophet. So this is very good type of history. And in addition to that, if there is a question, no religion can be improved without the financial aid. Who was there to finance Islam for the first time? Imam Fakhruddin Razi, who died in 606 AH, Islamic calendar. He wrote a book in 32 volumes with the name of Tafsir Kabir. He writes in the last and final volume of this commentary, he says, وَوَجَدَكَ عَيْلًا فَأَغْنَى, under this very verse. He writes that the first person to support the Islamic cause by means of money was Sayyidah Khadijah Kubra. Reporter of that event is Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Siddiq Akbar, the first caliph of Islam, he was present there. He said that when Nabi Kareem alayhi salam heard the poverty of the Muslims, the miserability of the companions, he was really very very grieved and very sorrowful, and he began to weep. He said, had I enough money, I would have spent on my companions, because my companions are being tortured, are being deprived of the social rights on account of my companionship. Therefore, it is my duty to look after them and to sympathize with them. Sayyidah Khadijah Kubra was also present there, and he was the richest person in Arabic society. And no one was there in Arabic society who did not take the benefit from Sayyidah Khadijah Kubra. She began to bring the gold and silver, because these notes which are written on the paper were invented by the capitalist when the feudal system, when the Roman Empire was toppled in UK, and then feudal came into power, and then feudal were toppled by the bourgeois, and bourgeois came into power, and they began to write the chits as a note. These paper type money was invented by the capitalist of UK. And before that time, the original money was silver and gold. Janab Sayyidah Khadijah Kubra began to bring the silver and gold and began to make the heap in front of Muhammad Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam. She piled up a very great heap. And Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu says, I was in front of Muhammad Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam, but I was not in position to see Muhammad Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam. The heap of gold and silver was so big that he was hidden after that. It means that the woman has got the honor of being first Muslim as well, and the honor of first financial supporter of Islam as well. And especially a wife, she believed in Muhammad Mustafa Islam as a sacred person as well, and she supported with the money as well. She did not try to get the money, to draw the money, and to save the money under the shelter of prophethood of Muhammad Mustafa Islam, but she sacrificed whatever she had So this is a good record of a woman in Islamic history. Then there is another question. Who is the first martyr, shaheed? Who is the first shaheed, first martyr in Islamic history? And that is also a woman. This credit also goes in the favor of the woman. Islam is not dishonest. Islam gives the proper status to any person who deserves. Her name was Sumayya, and she was mother of Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir. She was mother of Ammar bin Yasir, and she was crushed very badly. And Abu Jahl and his community, they had a farmer. Please don't talk to each other. It is totally prohibited to cross talk during the meeting. No one is allowed to have a conversation in two places in one meeting. One meeting, only one person is allowed to talk. She was mother of Hazrat Ammar ibn Yasir, and Ammar ibn Yasir was also a very large person. And when a person checks the character of Hazrat Ammar ibn Yasir, he automatically has to come to the conclusion that Ammar ibn Yasir was fruit of that tree, and all of the character paid by Hazrat Ammar ibn Yasir was the result of piety of that mother. This is why Quran says, Nisaukum kharsul lakum. The better the form, the better the crops. Give me good mothers, I shall give you the good soldiers. Napoleon says, give me the good mothers, I shall give you the good soldiers.
Subhanallah.
He says that the character of Karbala Sharif was not result of the struggle and efforts and endeavors of Hazrat Imam Hussain, but this was result of the piety and God-fearing and Islam-loving and good belief of Sayyida Fatima.
Subhanallah.
His mother was the best one in the world, therefore his character was the best one in the world.
Subhanallah.
Give me the good mother, I shall give you the good soldiers. So mothers are mothers. Then Hazrat Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was put in the fire. Why? He was incriminated just because he was believing in Islam. Look, the way of incrimination. It was a crime. To be a Muslim was a crime. In those days, look the character of the woman, their sport, their financial sport, their oral sport, their practical sport, and their sport by means of their offspring. Hazrat Sayyida Khadija Kubra then said, La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah. This was oral sport. Then she paid the money. This was a practical sport. Then Hazrat Sumayya had no money, but she offered her son in the way of Allah. Ammar ibn Yasir was a very bold person. When he walked in the streets of Mecca, he used to say, La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah with loud voice. So it means that to say La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah with loud voice is a sunnah of the companion of the Prophet. If a person says that this is unlawful, this is bidah, it means that he doesn't know about his Islam. Hazrat Ammar ibn Yasir was punished just because he used to say zikrullah with loud voice, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Then a fire was prepared, which is called chita, means a great type of fire to burn a person. So this is enhanced punishment. It was not precedent in the Islamic, in the human history, because burning of a criminal is exclusive right of Allah. Allah will burn the criminal persons in the hell. In criminology, in penology, no precedent can be offered that a person was burned just because he was a criminal person. One can be hanged, one can be stoned to death, but one cannot be burnt. But then Hazrat Ammar ibn Yasir began to say La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah with loud voice. He was incriminated, and His sentence was passed that he should be burned. A fire was prepared. And when he was going to be thrown in that fire, he said, "O my holy prophet, this is a proper time for my visibility.
Subhanallah.
Look at me and check my love and Allah. Check my sincerity."
Narae Takbir! Narae Risalat!
Subhanallah. And check my sincerity, whether I am happy with my death or not. At that time, Abu Jahl came to him. He said, "If you refuse or renounce or denounce Islam, we can release you. You can be acquitted. You can be exonerated. You can be released." He said, "I am very happy to be incriminated. I am very happy to be punished. But I am not happy to denounce or to renounce or to give up Islam. I am a Muslim. I shall live like a Muslim. I shall die like a Muslim. I will never like to save my life with the renunciation of Islam."
Subhanallah.
Then he was put in the fire. As soon as he was put in the fire, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appeared. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, unzurli." Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam answered, "Ya Narakuri, bardam wa salama."
Subhanallah.
"Oh fire, you are not allowed to burn Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir." And Sumayya was mother of this person. But this character was fruit of the character of Sumayya. Sumayya was also accustomed to say, "La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah." She used to walk in the streets of Mecca, but he did not like to conceal herself or her feeling or his sincerity or her love for Muhammad Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam. She was arrested. She was put in the political asylum, and many persons were appointed to make her understand that this type of belief is totally against the then government. The then government was aristocracy. Aristocracy means that was a combination of 20 tribes. The 20 tribes, they selected their representatives, and their representatives, they make a state, but this judiciary, legislature, or executive, these three institutes were separated here about 200 years ago. This is called separation of power. In those days, separation of power was not attempted by the government. Jumbly, their status were distributed among them. That used to be called aristocracy. The system of government in those days used to be called aristocracy. Aristocracy was enforceable in those days. They said that this is aristocracy. There's no one is there to oppose us. We are exclusively enjoying the power of ruling. Therefore, you will have to bow down in front of us. She said, "I have bowed in front of Allah.
Subhanallah.
And I have believed in Muhammad Mustafa alayhi wa sallam." They said, "You are a woman." She said, "I am woman but Muslim."
Subhanallah.
A Muslim woman cannot bow down in front of the custom, in front of the power.
Subhanallah.
In front of deviated people, in front of misled people. "I am going on the straight path. I daily say, Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Oh my Lord, show me the straight way of those people who were given the bounties by you, who were elevated by you, who were granted the bounties by you, and I am strictly abiding by the rules and regulations prescribed by Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, I am not going to renounce my Islam." They said that, "If you are not going to change your decision, you will have to undergo very severe punishment, because severity of the punishment and severity of crime are inextricably woven together. The severer the crime you commit, the severer the punishment would be imposed upon you. You would have to suffer." She said, "I am ready." الذين آمنوا الذين قالوا ربنا الله فاستقاموا فتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. Then a person says, Oh my Lord, you are my Lord. And then he becomes strictly abiding by the pronunciation. Allah says, I send down the angels for his satisfaction. They give him the glad tidings that the paradise is waiting for you, and paradisical people are also waiting for you. Don't worry, nothing to be worried about. They will have to bow down, and you'll be elevated. Then, Hazrat Sayyidah Sumayya, the mother of Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala, her two legs were tied against two camels, and two camels were driven to two different sides, and she was separated from the half of the body. But at the time of breathing her last, she said, O people, be witness to my stability, to my regularity, to my punctuality. I was a Muslim, I am a Muslim, and I shall marry a Muslim, and I am dying like a Muslim, and I shall be resurrected as a Muslim, and I shall be included in the society of Muhammad Mustafa. She was the first martyred in Islam. So these qualities are also from, I mean, over, I think. Okay. So inshallah we shall do the prayer, and if there's any question, you can put the question after the expiry of prayer. وما علينا إلا البراء والمبين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم الحمد لله رب العالمين لا إله إلا الله ديسم